The reading is taken from James, chapter 5, verses 7 to 11. Be patient, then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Learners. Who likes learners on the road? I noticed an increase. I'm glad you like that. You're in the car with the learner, Mark. I noticed a lot of learners out at rush hour this week. I have to say, as I've been preparing each week on the fruit of the Spirit, I think every single subject I've been tested on leading up to the sermon. There are certainly a lot of learners out and at rush hour, and you're trying to get your children to school, and there's always an L play, and they take their time, and at the traffic lights, and you haven't got long to get through the traffic lights as a learner, and they stall. And it goes back to red again. In my community, eyebrows were raised when I started to learn to drive, especially by the people my car was aiming towards. Terrible. 13 lessons in, I forgot where the brake was. It was after school, it was a lovely warm afternoon, and I just couldn't cope, it was too much. And he said, pull into the bus stop, and I pulled into the bus stop, and just past the bus stop was an alleyway, and two ladies were walking down, and I pulled in, and as I was rolling, I thought, well, which one's the clutch, which one's the accelerator, I don't know. And I accelerated the car, and yes, eyebrows were raised. Ah, here comes Jonathan. Took me 66 lessons and a mortgage paid for the instructor. I'm sorry, Mark, I'm joking. Patience. And my instructor, by the way, had a go at me, so I changed and actually a good instructor. We probably all have a story about losing our patience. How many people have this theory that when you're in a shop shopping, whichever till you queue up for, you'll suddenly get slower? And sometimes there'll be like five people in one, two people in another, so you queue with the two, and the person in front says, I want to return a product. And they ring the bell, and no one comes. And then you clock the fifth person has actually just bought their stuff and moved on. Yes. So we all probably have a story about patience. We live in a fast food consumer culture, where we have learnt to be less patient. Even in McDonald's and places like that, if you don't get your food instantly, what's wrong? Or if you order something, you expect it to be delivered within 2 to 3 days. And when it's 5, 6 days, something's wrong. The world is going to end. What's happened to Amazon? Where's my package? We live in a very fast food culture. We're bombarded, aren't we, with images and messages and adverts. Who remembers the days when you were waiting at your door for a handwritten letter that would take maybe a couple of weeks? Do you remember those days? Now, if you email someone, you're expected to have a reply almost instantly, that same day. The attention span at schools, when I was at school, used to be 20 minutes. I don't know about when you were at school. Before my generation, people had to sit there and the teacher would write on the board for 50 minutes, 60 minutes, and you'd have to sit there quietly and copy what's on the board. We had a attention span of 20 minutes. I think probably it might be even less now. That's why if I go on for 20 minutes and you all start snoring, I think, oh, modern culture. So it's no surprise then that patience is mentioned in the Bible many times and has a lot to say about it. One of my favourite verses, just as an aside, is Ecclesiastes 3:11, where God has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I love that verse. He's made everything beautiful in its time. We often want to rush things. We often want to rush God. You look at these flowers. These flowers took, I don't know much about flowers, but I'd imagine weeks, months for it to develop, to grow into the beautiful flower that it is. We need to be patient when we're asking God to change us. We need to be more Christ-like. There is a time for everything. A time for a flower to grow, a time for a person to mature, a time for our ministries to develop. We have to slow down in our culture. And he is doing that with us. We are becoming more Christ-like. Can you see yourself becoming more Christ-like? Anyone here can see themselves becoming more Christ-like? Well, if I ask the other question, can you see yourself getting older? Okay. I personally can't. I didn't know I had a bald patch until I did a children's talk once and there was a camera focused on. And then I'm talking to the children, I'm thinking, who's that? And there's no one else but me. I thought, oh dear. Generally speaking, you can't see yourself. You can go to the mirror every day. You can't see those subtle changes. But other people who haven't seen you for a while can. So when we are changing to be Christ-like, you can't really see that in yourself, but other people can see the fruit of the Spirit in you. That's why it's always good to have accountability, to be part of a study group, to be part of a fellowship, so that we can share with one another and encourage one another as we grow to be more like Christ. Philippians 1:6 says, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ. You are changing to be like Christ now. You won't finish changing until you get to heaven. And then when you get to heaven, your change will be complete on the day that we stand before Christ. But until that time, we live in an imperfect world, in struggles, in a fallen world, a sin-stained world. And sometimes our personalities and characters can clash. And I've clashed with people simply because of our characters have clashed. Other times we get frustrated, don't we, with others? And sometimes that frustration can reach boiling point. This is especially true when we are exhausted from trying to help people who don't act like they want or appreciate our help. It's easy to be Christ-like with people who appreciate us or who show kindness. It really isn't easy when they don't. We can easily forgive our friends and close relatives we get on with, but we can't easily forgive those who rub us up the wrong way or we have a dislike for. They are reserved for our next rant. How many people have ever ranted before? Put your hand up if you've ever had a nice rant. We love a nice rant, don't we? Put the world to rights, criticise and... Well, James, who we read today, has something to say about that. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters. Or, this is harsh, isn't it? Or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. So next time you want to have a complaint about somebody, and I'm guilty too, and have a rant, remember James. He says, don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. And he's writing to the church, by the way. Okay, so he holds us to a different standard. There is a special place, of course, for siblings and spouses and family members, people who know us well and know which buttons to press. Siblings, brothers and sisters know exactly what to do, what to say to make you explode. My younger sister and I had arguments. I could make her get angry in a sentence. Just have to say a sentence, and I know that would wind her up. It's incredible, isn't it, how we know how to press people's buttons. Okay. So if we, as a church, as a family, if we're going to survive, we need patience. And patience is one of the fruit of the Spirit. If you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. You're a new creation, and the fruit of Spirit should be growing in you as you become Christ-like. Now, there'll be some fruit of the Spirit that you'll be strong with, and there'll be others that you are a bit weaker with. The thing is, it's not a pick and mix. You can't say, well, I have a bit of love, I like being joyful, okay, forget about patience. I won't have any patience. It's not. These are all the characteristics of Christ. So if you're changing to be like Christ, you have the 9 characteristics, and one of them is patience. You cannot leave patience at the door. God is expecting you to work on your patience. So what does it say in Galatians 5 when we talk about patience? Because there's patience when it comes to time, but there's patience with one another. And the Greek word, and by the way, I keep saying this every week, I don't speak Greek. Okay, so if you come to me and say, oh, what's the Greek word? It's like, I've just looked it up and studied it. Okay, the Greek word for patience is makrothumia. Okay, which is 2 words put together. Makros, which means long. So has anyone eaten macaroni? It's a long noodle. And the word macaroni comes from makros, which means long. And thumos means anger. So you've got makros and thumos together, which forms makrothumia. Can you all say makrothumia? There you go. You know as much Greek as I do. So when you put these 2 words together, you get a picture of patient restraint, where there's an anger that is a strong-grown feeling, but there's the word long. So it means long-suffering. So sometimes the translation is long-suffering, and in other versions we have patience and we have forbearance. Long-suffering. That's the Greek word from Galatians 5, where we have the fruit of the Spirit. In Colossians 3:12, Paul commands us to put on long-suffering. Put on means dressing yourself, putting clothes on you. Now, I know who's ever seen Mary Poppins? You know, medicine go down, and she clicks her fingers, and everything automatically just moves and cleans itself up. I think some Christians have a Mary Poppins approach to clothe yourself. You go to the cupboard, you find a jumper because it's cold, and you expect the jumper to fly in the air and go nicely over you with no effort whatsoever. It doesn't say that in the Bible. It says you've got to put it on, okay? You have to pull in the same direction as God is pulling. It's no good saying, oh, do you know what? I'm so impatient. I got no patience. God will do all the work. He'll change me. No, the Bible expects you to pull in the same direction as God. You are working together in partnership so you can change and be more patient. You have a responsibility, an obligation before God. So just a few points before we finish. For me, the greatest demonstration of patience, the patience of God, is our relationship with us, human beings. You know, we wreck the world, don't we? We have spoiled his paradise. We blame God for suffering when he didn't design this world to have suffering and death. We blame him for our own mistakes. We forget to thank him. We have thoughts and motives that God can see that are really offensive and no one else can see. We tolerate ungodly things. We're hypocrites, ignoring dangerous ideology for a bit of peace. Not even the closest person sees all our sin, but God does. Yet God is willing to forgive you. How patient must you be to forgive the things in our lives? Look how we treated Jesus Christ. We're coming up to Easter soon, in a month's time, next month. We beat Jesus, we stripped him, we tortured him, we whipped him, we mocked him. We crucified God's only son. How much patience would you need if that was my child being treated like that? I'd want to go to war personally. I'd want to destroy my enemies. God didn't. God demonstrated his love for us, but while we were sinners, while we were his enemies, Christ died for you and for me. What patience. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you. He doesn't want you to die. He doesn't want you to perish. But everyone come to repentance. You know, some people have this idea that the Old Testament God is someone that zaps everyone with lightning and brings condemnation. He gave the Canaanites 400 years of grace and they still face judgment because they refused to change. He sent Jonah to the enemies of God. The Assyrians treated the Israelites badly. They skinned them. They were horrible. They were known as violent people. Now God could have said, well, they're not Israel. I'll just destroy them with a bit of lightning. He didn't. He sent Jonah to preach repentance. The God of the Old Testament, I believe, is as patient as the God of the New. That's God's demonstration of patience. Second point is patience through affliction. So we read from James. James was a church leader in Jerusalem, a brother of Christ. Now Christians were being killed. Christians were being put in prison. Many Christians had to escape Judea and lived all across the Mediterranean because of persecution. James, the purpose of his letter was to encourage people like you and me that struggled, that suffered persecution. Look, don't hide your faith. If you're a Christian, act it out. You know, you can't hide it. If you say you're a Christian, if you say you love God, then you have to love people. Patient in affliction. He talks about two things. As you wait for the Lord's return, Matthew 24 is knocking at your door. Has anyone heard that song? There's a song, I think it was Burl Ives or Johnny Cash. They sing a song called Matthew 24 is knocking at your door. Jesus is coming back, isn't he? The early church thought he was going to come back straight away. And they got impatient. And in some ways, we're impatient because we think, yeah, we keep hearing that, Jesus is coming back. But he is coming back. And the point that James is making is to people who have struggled, people who think, where is this going to end? When I open the newspapers, when I watch the news, I think, what is this world coming to? Well, James is encouraging us by saying, at the end, Jesus is coming back. We have the victory. This story ends with a happily ever after. Jesus is coming back. Romans 12:12 says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction. James wants to encourage people like you and me to be patient during our struggles. I am really impatient, so when God doesn't answer my prayers, when someone's not being healed, how many of us get frustrated? I prayed for that person and they're not well. Why aren't you doing it, God? Why aren't you healing the way I want you to heal? God says, be patient in affliction. And James mentions Job. And Job was, a story of Job was a man who lost everything, or almost everything. He endured a lot. And in the end, he was faithful to God, and God blessed him with more than what he had from the very beginning. The Lord was kind to him in the end. Sometimes we can get caught up in the present that we don't see the future. We are a future people. We are a people that have a happy ever after finish. We need to see that and be encouraged by that. So what are you and I are going through today? What are your struggles? Know that Christ is coming. Know that he will reign. Know that God walks with you every step of the way, and whatever troubles you're going through now, at the end of your life, at the end of time, we shall live happily ever after with God. The last point before I finish is, first of all, patience is such a big subject. There's so much more to say. But my last point is spend time, and you need to be patient, wait on the Lord. Psalm 37:7, David says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Yes, spend time with God. Okay, some of us need to learn that discipline, that patience. I'm always everywhere and it's really hard to sit still and count 30 seconds to get a chocolate egg at the end of it. I struggle with that. But we need to be patient before the Lord. We all know that famous verse, be still and know that I am God. God is saying, be still, stop rushing, have patience, be still and wait patiently for God. Isaiah says in chapter 40, 31, very famous verses, but those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We face a culture that is fast-paced, very consumer-like. We need to plug ourselves into God. We need him to be our shield and strength. Let us go forth and let us work on our patience. Let me pray. Lord God, thank you for your patience. Thank you for your patience with me and us. Even though we've let you down, even though we've let each other down, even though we're sinners, thank you that you still love us. Thank you that you're coming back again. We thank you for that hope, that actually we will live in perfect unity with you at the end of time. Lord, help us this week to have patience with one another, to be a witness to the people out there in our community. Amen.